Good morning and welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. We are so happy to have you with us today. This is your co-host, Dr. Rick Klopine, and I'm with my other co-host, Dr. Susan Kolb. You with us, Susan?
I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Temple of Health Radio Show is brought to you by Plastikos and Millennium Healthcare, the medical practices that Susan and I practice out of in Atlanta. Susan is a board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon. I am board-certified in obstetrics and gynecology. We're both board-certified in holistic medicine, and I love to do shows that weave our interests together. This show today is going to really touch all of us who are listening, because it's on a topic that is very important to all of us. Today's book is The Sexual Herbal Prescriptions for Enhancing Love and Passion by Brigitte Mars. And I'm very pleased to have had the opportunity to jump at doing this show today. This book, the women who read this book are the women I want in my practice. And the women who are in my practice, I want to read this book. This book is really more of an encyclopedia of information about sexual health, about human health, about living a fully engaged life. It's a book that goes beyond sexual health and is a wonderful handbook for women's health. The advice that is provided in this book is comprehensive. It's naturopathically oriented. It's set in a way that empowers women to create health for themselves. It's not looking for a magic bullet. And this is, you know, as a gynecologist today, women coming in with sexual complaints is very common. The largest complaint I hear is loss of libido, loss of sex drive. And one of the things I love about this book is it takes a perspective that I take, which is, this is about many different things, not just about one thing. And creating health and living a lifestyle that supports building a lot of vitality is what women need to have sexual health. Brigitte Mars has a lifetime of experience as an herbalist, a nutritional consultant, teacher, and healer. She's the author of several books, including The Desktop Guide to Herbal Medicine and Addiction Free Naturally. She's a professor at Naropa University, Boulder College of Massage. We're very pleased to have her with us today. Thank you for this book, Brigitte. Really wonderful.
Thank you so much for all the nice things you said about it. And I'm so grateful, and it really is my intention. I want women and men who read the book to start taking some responsibility. And yes, it's great to have a wonderful holistic doctor you can work with, but there's a lot that we can do ourselves in the meantime, and it's the choices we make every day.
I agree. I think that the more that women make choices that support what they want in their life, the happier they are and the healthier they are. Women come in to see me all the time, and a major complaint is, you know, I don't have any sex drive. They're in relationship, maybe in relationship for a long time. And, of course, so many women come in with the perspective like they approach a conventional doctor. There must be a magic pill or something I can take that's going to make this all better. And that isn't the case that I have found. What about your experience?
Well, first of all, I think it is natural for us to go through cycles of our libido, and when we are in the mode of reproducing, it's natural for libido to be higher. And as we get older, it is natural for it to change, but there are things we can do. And before I even, you know, talk about herbs, I think that we need to look at, sometimes we start armoring ourselves because things are not working so well in the relationship, we're harboring resentment. So there's a lot of tools in the book about keeping your love alive and communicating better, because sometimes loss of libido is really psychologically we are just kind of pulling away or retracting from our lover. And, of course, so many medications can affect libido, including birth control pills, but as well as antidepressants and antihistamines. So rather than just take a pill to enhance libido, we want to get to the cause and try to correct that if at all possible. So way before talking about herbs, I really think there's a lot we can do with diet. So I have a chapter in the book that I'm quite pleased with called Setting the Table for Passion. And it's not only what we feed ourselves, but what we feed our beloved, because sexual energy is extra energy. And if we are eating a diet that's going to leave us feeling fatigued and foggy and groggy, then one of the first things that's going to happen is our body's going to go into self-protection. And the body knows that creating a child at this time, because that is one of the reasons why we do have this wonderful gift of libido, would be disastrous. So we need to have clean arteries for good arousal. We need clean arteries to be orgasmic, and men need clean arteries in order to have strong erections. So we need to be careful of not overdoing foods that are going to congest our arteries. Lots of red meat and dairy products, margarine could be very congesting. So I love to share with people that eating more roots in general, roots like rutabaga and carrot and parsnip and burdock, according to the principles of Asian medicine, eating roots helps us to feel more in our body and more grounded. And
more earthy.
What's that?
More earthy.
More earthy, exactly. And there's so many wonderful minerals in those root vegetables. And throughout the world, people have used roots to energize their reproductive centers of their body. And they're so nourishing. And doesn't it make sense that nuts and seeds would be good for libido, because nuts and seeds are high in nutrients like vitamin E and zinc, which are important components of our sexual fluids and important for reproductive health. So this morning my husband and I had a bowl of soaked chia seeds, which has become one of my favorite foods. Chia seeds are a tiny little black seed. They're in the mint family. The Latin name is Salvia hispanica. And they've become more readily available in the United States. These were one of the superfoods of Native American runners, and still to this day are. Many tribal peoples have long known the amazing amount of energy you get from eating chia seeds. And you don't cook them. You just soak about 2 tablespoons in a cup of water, and then you can stir things in it to make it yummy, like, you know, blueberries or apples, raisins, honey, walnuts, whatever. And then you eat this as a cereal, and these little tiny black seeds are very high in omega-3 fatty acids. They seem to really help mental alertness, and according also to Asian medicine, foods that are black indicate that they have a lot of minerals in them. So I prefer the black chia seeds, but we also use foods like black sesame seeds, wild rice, black quinoa, sea vegetables, sun-cured black olives. So again, Asian medicine says eat more black foods, and I don't mean things with black dye. I mean things that are naturally occurring black indicate a large presence of minerals. So also in Asian medicine, the health of our kidneys, which doesn't mean just the 2 organs that sit in our lower back. The kidneys govern a lot of other things, like our bones, our teeth, our sense of hearing, and our libido. So if we're trying to build our libido, we must think about what's helping our kidneys. And so black foods, and I don't just mean coffee, although raw cacao or raw chocolate is also something that I recommend. And we know that chocolate is high in minerals. It also contains a chemical called phenylethylamine, which is produced when we're in love. So no wonder women especially really crave chocolate around their menstrual times. But chocolate really, it does, it's a cardiotonic. It causes a rush of blood to our heart. And of course, I prefer eating chocolate without the sugar and the, you know, hydrogenated oils. I usually look for, you know, a really good quality, high, you know, high in cacao chocolate without sugar, maybe sweetened with honey or dates or figs or something.
I wanted to mention two things that I've found very, very important in my patient population. I see patients from all over the country, in fact, all over the world, with problems with breast implants, and a lot of the problems are chemical toxicity from silicone and biotoxicity from mold. And homes that have mold in them, which are very common in moister environments like Florida and the beach, Gulf Coast, that type of thing, produce biotoxins, and one portion of the population, those biotoxins will disrupt the leptin receptors in the hypothalamus and really wipe out all of the endocrine system. It wipes out the adrenals, the thyroid, the sex hormones, and also ADH, so patients drink and pee all the time. So those patients even can go into premature menopause or have cessation of menses. When we take out their breast implants, that have mold in them, or when we clean up their house, and we do that through essential oils. We use a combination of thieves and menthol in something called God's Tears that is formulated for us by a nurse practitioner, and we use a cold diffuser, and then we clear out the house for the biotoxins, because, of course, that can be insidious and very difficult to find. And then we treat with antifungals if they have, you know, fungus in their chest wall or anywhere else in their body, and they often have their periods come back. There's another thing. I wanted to read something that I read yesterday that I don't think people are aware of. This was Science News, and it was published. It's a study that appeared in Environmental Science and Technology just recently. It says homes in low-income and affluent communities in California both had similarly high levels of endocrine disruptors, and the levels were higher in indoor air than outdoor air. And so basically it looked at 104 substances. These were phthalates, plastics, PCBs, basically pesticides, fragrances, other materials. So they did these analysis of homes from all sorts of different socioeconomic class in the San Francisco Bay Area. And basically, this was the study actually took place in 2006. And what they're finding is that we have a large concentration of these endocrine disruptors in our home. So, you know, so things like infrared saunas or exercise where you sweat, ionic foot baths, which gets rid of hydrophilic chemicals, and then we have something called an electrolysis foot bath that gets rid of hydrophobic chemicals. And most of these chemicals that are endocrine disruptors are plastics and hydrophobic chemicals. And that's why we have such a large amount of prostate and breast cancer way over other countries, is because of this pollution. And
so
of course,
I assume a lot of that's coming from, like, the rugs and the upholstery and the wallboards.
Yeah, they're saying, let's see if I can see in the study here. It's, let's see, I got to go into the rest of the study if I can.
Certainly we want to get away from storing our food in plastic and buying plastic water bottles. I just invested in ceramic food containers for, you know, our entire family, gave them to the kids' families, you know. So there's simple things we can do.
And don't store food or microwave food in plastic containers or freeze water or food in plastic containers, because that breaks it down. Good plastic may not be so dangerous if used at room temperature, but if frozen or put into higher temperature, it breaks down and causes things that are carcinogenic. But they're saying here, you know, it's carpet, it's even fabrics. You know, our non-natural fabrics are involved.
And while you're looking for that study, Susan, I have long felt that, you know, most people that are interested in health in this country are going to wear natural fibers for the most part.
Right.
But then when women go to buy bras, the bras are made out of, you know, polyester foam fill with underwires, and our breasts need to breathe as well as other parts of our body. And I think that we do ourselves a disservice by not taking care of this vulnerable area of ourselves. So, you know, go the extra mile. Look for natural fiber bras. Wash them first. Organic cotton would be the best. And, you know, think about taking them off once you get home for the day. And, you know, for women who are smaller breasted, you know, cotton undershirts work just great.
Right, they do. Let me
I agree. I'm not in favor of underwire bras.
It concerns me
about the constriction of the chest wall, and it concerns me about constriction of superficial lymphatics under the skin.
Yeah, I think that it's a problem. Let me give you the journal reference. I just have the article about the science article about it. I'm not actually looking at the study.
Okay.
It's Rudel, R-U-D-E-L, et al., semi-volatile endocrine-disrupting compounds in paired indoor and outdoor air in two Northern California communities. And let me tell you why they were looking at Northern California. It's because of the high rate of breast cancer there. There's a little problem right there. And it's published in Environmental Science and Technology 2010, and it's got a bunch of numbers, but probably that's enough information to get it.
Thank you.
You know, I think it's in our environment. I really do. Because if you look at the cancer rates, the U.S. has strikingly higher cancer rates than Europe and other parts of the world do. And I think we have more endocrine disruptors than they do.
One of the comments that you made, Brigitte, is that sex is extra energy. Made that
yes,
comment earlier, and I totally agree with you, especially for women. I think it's a little bit different for men and women, but especially for women, most women feel sexual when everything's taken care of, everybody's taken care of, everything's good, they're feeling good, they have vitality, they have stores of chi, they have extra energy to put into it, and so much of our modern life really tends to set to drain everybody.
And foreplay can start in the morning when a partner lovingly, you know, helps you with some of your chores or, you know, takes over some of the care of the children. So, you know, there's a lot to do in a woman's world and, you know, helping each other and not being so defined by roles. You know, that's a woman's role, that's a man's role. Do what you can to help each other. We're living in a time where a lot of times the roles are shifting, and if we can just show up and help where the help is needed, I consider that part of foreplay.
I also think what you said is important about visiting different aspects of your life. You spoke about starting with the diet. You spoke about how certain medications can cause disruption of these energies. Certain medical conditions too can. Certainly women's past sexual experience, as well as
yes,
the current situation, can have a huge impact on it, including the consensus society around her and what the norms are of the culture that she was brought up in and the family and the religion and things like this. Plus, if people have physical disabilities, this can be an issue for them. If people have, you know, so there's, and we could go on and on, but there's many different aspects to consider. And it's good to go through and consider because it helps you see where you can change a little bit here and a little bit there.
So I did include a chapter called Healing from Trauma because very often, you know, going through fear of pregnancy, abortion, a loss of a child, a difficult birth, and of course, you know, I'm sure as practitioners we hear all too often, you know, some of the cases of abuse and that leaves lasting scars, but there are things we can do to help heal that, and relationships
absolutely
can be an opportunity to heal one another. And so not everybody enters a relationship totally 100% whole and healthy. We sometimes have to be there to help support and heal our partners from past difficulties.
Let me give you a very interesting example that you may not know about. One of my other international practices, because I'm doing a lot of people from Europe and Iran and Afghanistan as well, I do a practice of labia minora reduction, labia majora reduction, and clitoral unhooding. Of course, clitoral unhooding is important if they have too much tissue there for orgasm. But the labia minora, you would be absolutely amazed at the sexual healing that goes on in abuse situations when you do surgery in that area and remove the traces of the physical trauma that have occurred. People don't realize it, but women are often abused with vacuum cleaners and with other instruments, and that causes swelling and enlarges the labia minora. And I go in, I do the surgery, and you would not believe the letters I get about the healing. They come back and they say now they can have normal sex with their husbands or their partners, and it's just the traces are removed. I think also because I'm a healer, I energetically remove some of the cellular memory, but it's remarkable at what in certain cases surgery can do for sexual healing. Probably something you've not heard before.
Well, it's wonderful,
very interesting.
And it's wonderful that you're able to help people in that condition, and what a wonderful thing to be able to combine surgery with, you know, with healing and helping the emotional body. So that's wonderful.
And when people have very enlarged labia minora, it's also uncomfortable to have sex. I mean, no matter what you do, you really can't fix it. You know, it's a physical problem, and it requires a physical solution.
I must voice that when I met Dr. Susan, I was very impressed with the time that she spent on the energetic layout of her office before constructing it, and paying attention to the energies of the space and energetically applying different gem energies to each operating room, depending on what needs to be done. And I had never before met a surgeon who was so attuned to the energetic underpinnings of our physical world.
Well, I'm all for that. I'm included in the sexual herbal chapter on feng shui for the bedroom, and where we spend our time, our home, our office, certainly does affect us. If something is very cluttered or very dirty, it makes us feel more anxious and panicked. So creating a place of serenity and harmony and sensuality allows us to relax in the moment. So how wonderful. I think that there's really a lot of future in that, and I'm glad to hear that it's being done in the medical field, because we're affected by color and comfort, and it's affecting our brain. And they know about this in advertising, but we should be cognizant of this in our own practices and home life too.
They've actually showed, I do everything pretty much through spiritual guidance, and so I was guided on the color scheme of the center, and I was guided to make the walls white. And later on I read studies that had been done showing lower bacterial levels in white rooms.
Oh, interesting.
It's very strange, but you think about white in medical situations, and it's actually a little bit cleaner and a better feeling than, say, something more heavy.
Well, color is energy.
It is.
Let's take a quick break here. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. We're speaking with Brigitte Mars, her book, The Sexual Herbal. We'll be back shortly.
Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plasticos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plasticos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plasticos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plasticos is a bargain.
Plasticos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
Welcome back to Temple of Health Radio Show. Temple of Health Radio Show is brought to you by Plasticos Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery and Millennium Healthcare in Dunwoody. You can reach us at 770-457-4677. And announcements for the month of August, our radio show every Saturday at noon. Coming up on the 14th of August is Hilary Ramo and her book, Bridging Dimensions. Coming up on the 21st, Dr. Jacob Tietelbaum will be back on the show, his new book, Beat Sugar Addiction Now. And on the 28th, back on the show is Dr. Norm Shealy, who's always a great interview, and he'll be speaking Medical Intuition, A Science of the Soul. We have several events at Millennium Healthcare, including 0 Point Global Products by Dr. Brad Gould on August 12th at 7:30 p.m. in our main office. Our Noetic Science meeting, the third Thursday of every month, this month, the 19th of August. Dr. Susan will be hosting a showing of the free video, The Quantum Activist, by Dr. Amit Goswami, who we've had on the show a number of times in his fascinating study of consciousness. And on the 24th of August, host Lisa Hine will be interviewing Dr. Susan on RadioEarthNetwork.com at 10 a.m. about her new book. And we're back with Brigitte Mars and her book, The Sexual Herbal. Do you want to give some contact information to our audience, Brigitte?
Surely. You can visit my website at www.brigitte, spelled B-R-I-G-I-T-T-E, Mars, M-A-R-S.com, BrigitteMars.com. And I've also written a book called Rawsum, and I have a new one coming out soon, The Country Almanac of Home Remedies, which will be out this fall.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great because I love your perspective. For our listening audience, this book is encyclopedic and covers so much. Part one is love therapies, and that goes through diet, herbs, nutrition, exercises, aromatherapy, homeopathy, flower essences, feng shui, and more. Part two, how to be a fantastic lover, things such as improving your technique. Part three, achieving and maintaining sexual health. I was very impressed by the advice given for common gynecologic problems that women face and taking power into their own hands. Thank you. And the last part, love and relationships, I thought was an excellent ending because it includes things like flirting and attracting a mate, keeping your love alive, healing from trauma, healing the spirit from a broken heart, and is it love or addiction? Very complete body of work. One of the things I really liked is that you give a number of choices. In each section where you make a recommendation, you provide choices for people.
Right, and not everyone's going to do, you know, all of the things that are suggested, but the way that I like to work with emotional. I think we need to look at the emotions, and the energetics, which could include things like feng shui and communication and relationship, then food, then herbs, and then there's a place for supplements, And then, you know, drugs and surgery might be something that is needed as well, but you can make, you know, whatever you do even so much more effective if you make conscious choices every day as to what you're going to put in your body. And, you know, one thing, since we're talking about women's gynecological needs, I talk to so many women who say, you know, I have cramps or I have endometriosis or intercourse is painful. And I really think that women would find using pads rather than tampons a lot healthier for them. There's this American model where we need to plug ourselves up and wear tight white jeans and go horseback riding during our menstrual cycles. And I think that does us a real disservice, that when blood is wanting to flow out, we should facilitate that and not pretend it's not happening. So it's just food for thought. A lot of times it's really simple things, and I know women say, oh, I could never do that. I hate it. It's the blood. I don't want to think about it. But sometimes when we really embrace it and not deny it and find ways that we can facilitate the release of that, we would find we weren't blocking ourselves and that cramping was far less, for example.
I can give you a really, really easy thing to do to help menstrual cramps. It works like a charm for patients that have been resistant to medication and birth control pills and everything. Basically, if you avoid foods that contain arachidonic acid in them for about a week prior to your period, you have very little menstrual cramps. That's eggs, red meat, and anything that has a lot of arachidonic acid. That's why Motrin works for cramps, or Aleve or Motrin, is because they block that pathway. But, you know, if you your diet is incredibly important in how much menstrual cramps you have. People don't realize that because they eat the same diet, you know, day in and day out.
And lots of magnesium, which is found in green leafy
vegetables.
Magnesium
is critical, right.
There's a little poem, it doesn't rhyme, but we say, if you have spasms, think magnesium. And that could go for not only menstrual cramps, but, you know, charley horses and things that wake you up at night.
Right. That's right.
Those eye twitches from spending too much time in front of the computer. Okay.
And virtually everybody's magnesium deficient these days. I mean, unless they're taking magnesium or eating an incredibly healthy diet.
And I'm a big believer in one meal a day should be green leafy vegetables. And I also try to do one green drink a day, like a green smoothie mm-hmm. or a vegetable juice that still has the pulp in it.
Yum. You know, you talk about that people need to make some changes if they want something to change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you keep doing the same thing,
it's
you're
a
going to
It's a radical idea.
And, you know, I'm always saying, at least in the work I do, I say I don't heal people. I teach people how to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the choices that we make, we were talking about foods earlier that are good for libido and sexuality. You know, I think of avocados. I think of, you know, eating more colorful fresh fruits and vegetables. I think the American diet tends to be very white and beige and very sweet and salty. And yet there's many, many colors we should be consuming, you know, blueberries, raspberries, pomegranates, persimmons, acai, and that we want to get all of the different flavors, not just sweet and salty, but a little bit of bitter, which we can get from greens, a little bit of sour, which helps to improve the function of the liver. And remember that one of the many, many functions of the liver is to break down hormones in the body. So when we have things like hot flashes and menstrual cramps and breast tenderness, if we could improve our liver health, that's going to help everything else in our bodies to function better. So eating more berries and lemon and water, and then rather than just using salt as a flavor, think about using more sea vegetables like kelp and dulse. Those sea vegetables are very high in minerals that nourish our thyroid gland. And then the other flavor that I skipped over was pungent. And the pungent flavor means there's a high concentration of essential oils. And having read many years ago love manuals like the Kama Sutra and the Perfume Garden, you learn that it's all about the spices. So spicing up your food with that pungent flavor like cinnamon and garlic and ginger and cardamom, those are other great ways to turn on your senses, improve circulation through the body, and the fact that those herbs are warming, they help the flow of energy to move through you. And they really turn on your senses via the brain. So I'm a big believer in cinnamon.
Cinnamon's good for controlling blood sugar, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, again, if someone's really exhausted and lethargic, it may be that low blood sugar is something to look at. So we want to really unplug from the refined carbohydrates, which could be things like bread and white rice and white corn. And we also have a saying in the natural food world, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead.
Yeah.
All right.
Of course, this is your general dietary advice that any good holistic or alternative practitioner would be giving to their patients anyway, whether it's about sex or whether about just living a healthy life.
Absolutely. And, you know,
yeah.
All of our bodies should be in working order. It's not like everything above the waist we can talk about and everything below the waist has to be a big dark secret. So, you know, really all of our centers in our body should be working efficiently and be in their best health and ultimate beauty. So, yes, indeed.
I think what you mentioned before struck me as very important. You were talking about women being disconnected from their menstrual cycle. And I think this is one reflection of the general disconnect our society has from nature as a whole. And from our food, we don't know where our food comes from. And you talking about the foods the way you are, and, it, you know, that's one way that we can reconnect back into the natural world is through paying attention to our foods and our experience of the food. I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Well, sometimes when I work with women that have amenorrhea or they're not getting regular cycles, I certainly will probably look at their diet and things to build the blood, like beets, for example, and green leafy vegetables, nuts and seeds. But I also think of start going outside and looking at the moon, because I think very often we don't know, is it a new moon, is it a full moon, is it a half moon? And so if a woman's going to start taking some herbs to help regulate her cycle, like Vitex, also known as chase tree berry or dung quai or raspberry leaf, I often suggest that she start taking it at the new moon or at the full moon and start attuning to those lunar cycles. And very often when women lived more closely together in tribes, or even women that go to college and live in a dorm together, very often they'll menstruate around the same time. And because we all live so separately, we kind of miss out on that rhythm. A wonderful book that I often recommend to women that are having menstrual difficulties, even though it's a novel, it's The Red Tent by, I think it's Anita Diamant. And it's just wonderful to look at how women live during these times and we're not in denial. And I certainly don't think we need to shut women away or you know, but it is interesting, in many cultures, there are taboos even of having intercourse during the menstrual cycle, that it forces blood back up into the uterus and into parts of the body when it's really trying to flow out. And it's not to dishonor women. It's really to say, you know, exchange of blood during this time could be a health risk for the man and woman, and, like, you know, give her time to rest.
I agree.
And really, women really benefited for that little rest time, and it's many, many cultures that have concerns about that. So, you know, I've really in this book tried to explore things from all the different world cultures, and I think there's things to learn from all of them.
I think if women had the opportunity to take a day or two off around their menses if they needed to, take a day or two off from their family responsibility, from their work responsibility, I think everybody would be a lot happier.
A wellness day. Yes, absolutely. More wellness days rather than sick days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it could be a time where you, you know, nap more or, you know, have some body work done, you know, read spiritually uplifting books, have someone else make you food for a change.
Yep.
I'm all in favor of that.
Me too. It's the way that you spoke before about foreplay, starting in the morning with helping each other, and really this is a lifestyle to cultivate that can be in so many different things throughout the day, where it's redrawing yourself back to the attention to yourself and to your partner in a conscious way can really move people back more towards loving feelings.
And, you know, if you think about all the things that maybe one did in a new relationship, the way that people would pay sincere compliments and say what you love about each other and what you appreciate about each other, we need to keep doing that our entire lives. Not once the ring is on, you don't have to treat them like a really special person. If you have a partner on the path and someone who is helping you raise children and take care of a home, and help, you know, support financially, or even just help keep the home pleasant, feeding the tribe, as I like to call it, these are things we need to appreciate and not take for granted. So, you know, think about that. Very often people start looking outside their main relationship, because in relationships we might find ourselves complaining too much about what wasn't done rather than giving appreciation for all the things that are done. And we need, this needs to go both ways for men and women. We know that children perform better when they're given praise and appreciation, you know, rather than focus on, you got a C. What about all the A's that you got on your report card? Okay, so there was a C. Maybe we need to work with that. But remember to give thanks for all the things that are good.
I think optimizing our present health and staying in the now in our relationships can be very helpful as well. You spoke before about how our sexual response does change with aging. I'm 57, and I'll testify that I agree with that. And it's one of the problems I see with many people who come to see me are they're always using some past point in their life as a measure of where they should be, meaning they're 50 and they want it to be how it was when they were 30. And I think it's a setup for disappointment. I think moving into a space where we're paying attention to where we are now and optimizing our now is really where it's at.
Well, I love that philosophy, and it's so true. And I think maybe we have another break coming up, but there are herbs that can help, too, to nurture us and help to build libido, if that's a concern.
Let's talk about that. Let's just keep going.
Okay. Well, throughout history, herbs have been the pharmacopoeia that people have relied on. And so I already mentioned cinnamon, but a lot of the herbs that we might use in the culinary arts, vanilla, for example. Vanilla is a fermented orchid. Rose water is a condiment. I'm making a birthday cake right now, and I'm putting rose water and raw cacao in it, and all kinds of nuts. Anise and fennel seed have a long tradition of being used to warm the body. I have here, historically, anise seed was baked into wedding cakes to stimulate wedding night vigor. So I love some of these, you know, old traditions that really are still very valid today. But there are some herbs that could be used. For example, damiana is an herb native to Central America. It has long been used for anxiety, performance anxiety, for treating erectile dysfunction. It helps to make people feel more sensitivity in their bodies. And it is traditional in the Latin American culture for the mother of the groom to give the bride a bottle of Damiana liqueur on the day of her wedding. And I thought I was so clever. I went around Mexico looking for licor de Damiana, only to find that they sell it at the big liquor store here in Boulder, which I don't visit very often, but here it was, licor de Damiana. Now, Shakespeare said, alcohol provoketh desire, but taketh away performance. So I'm not encouraging people to consume a lot of alcohol, but, you know, a little shot glass shared with your lover might be very helpful. There's also an interesting herb that has the folk name of horny goatweed, but in Latin it's Epimedium acantharis, or Epimedium grandiflorum. If you just ask for Epimedium or horny goatweed, it it increases sexual desire and strength. It nourishes the adrenal glands. It improves circulation. It's a traditional remedy for erectile dysfunction, but it's a restorative for the entire reproductive system for men and women. So rather than reinventing the wheel, if you go into a natural food store, you can find herbal remedies that will have combinations of several herbs that might have epimedium or damiana, maybe ginseng. Now, we often think of ginseng as being an herb for men, but ginseng is used for both men and women. It nourishes the adrenal glands. It helps the body better utilize oxygen. It enhances physical endurance and mental alertness. And because it's good for fatigue, which is one of the reasons why libido might be lacking anyways, ginseng will help to improve energy levels in both men and women. Now, we often think of testosterone as being a hormone for men, but testosterone does occur in women as well, and not only is it one of the important hormones for libido, it's also good for the drive towards ambition and being successful in life. And so, again, rather than using a hormonal drug, I think that we should look at herbs that can be included. And another one that is really so safe that you can even use it in your food is maca, Lepidium peruvianum. It's a root, and it looks very similar to a turnip or a rutabaga. It's a round root in the cruciferous family, so it is actually a relative of broccoli and cabbage. And maca enhances sexual desire. It can be used for vaginal dryness. It increases strength and stamina. And I love maca so much. Not only do I use it to add to smoothies, but I've even made maca-flavored ice cream, nut milk ice cream, and maca in confections like raw chocolate. So maca is really wonderful. It is also an ingredient you might find in some of these libido-enhancing tonics at a natural food store, or a holistic practitioner might also carry them.
We carry maca.
They respond wonderfully to maca. Yeah, they love, they respond great to maca. Another one that I like along the same vein is Rhodiola rosea.
Right. Isn't that wonderful?
As an adaptogenic support. I really like that.
And I was just teaching in Iceland, and I saw a lot of rhodiola growing, and it tends to grow like hanging on the side of a cliff where the winds and the water is whipping around. I said, this plant has got to be a hardy survivor if it can withstand all of that. I see how it really helps our bodies. And I know both of you are very attuned to energy, and the way a plant grows often tells us something about its nature.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And here, if it can survive and adapt to these unbelievable conditions, it's no surprise it can help us adapt.
Absolutely. And one last herb, which is actually considered a noxious weed here in Colorado. So I'm always going to the city council and saying, you might think it's a noxious weed, but we sell it for $20 a bottle at the holistic pharmacy that I work at. And that's Tribulus terrestris. Tribulus, also known as puncture vine, has been used as a remedy since ancient India. It's used for low libido in both men and women. It increases testosterone production by activating the luteinizing hormone secretions from the pituitary gland, and it improves circulation throughout the body. So isn't that something? You know, people are like trying to eradicate it, trying to spray it. And I'm really against the use of herbicides. I think we need to learn the names of the plants and start making tea out of them and including them in our salads if appropriate, and really cease, doing anything harmful to the earth. And we just all need to be better caretakers. And that, and you know, we were talking about foreplay. I wanted to say one other thing. If you find going on a path to better health with your partner is a really loving thing to do. So, you know, one of the ways that you can spend loving time with your partner is going for a walk or preparing a healthy meal or going to a yoga class or to the gym or doing an exercise video. But really encouraging your partner to do healthy things together can be part of your love regime. And it's been found that people who exercise have more sex. So rather than it being something separate that you do, how can you find ways to do this together? And I've always told my daughters, you know, find someone who brings out the best in you, who wants to live a healthy lifestyle with you, and find ways to do that together.
Well, I like the advice you gave to people who were looking for a partner. And pretty much summing it up, you said, go places where you would be likely to find yourself, to meet yourself.
Absolutely. So if there's something that is a big part of your life that you really believe in, whether it be, you know, going to church or spiritual study groups or going volunteering politically to help the party of your choice or environmental campaigning, you know, pursue the things that you believe in, because that's where you're going to find people that share your passion. And, you know, tonight at my house, I'm having a raw potluck dinner. And I think one of the things I'm going to do at our raw potluck dinner is have everybody put a card in a hat and everybody pull out a card. And everyone's going to do a trade for a service. So maybe someone trades a massage for a feng shui consultation. It does an exchange for, I'll make a raw pie or I'll make a gluten-free cake. Maybe I'll do your colors, or maybe I'll give you a polarity session. So it's a way to encourage community as well. And very often we might have a friend, and we know they do massage, for example, or they're a chiropractor, but we might never really know just how good they are because we haven't had the opportunity to experience their services. So I'm all about creating community and getting people to really learn the value and the talents that we share. And it doesn't have to be a part, but who knows, maybe a few love interests will happen from that. I'm always hopeful. I guess I'm kind of a matchmaker at heart.
And you gave some very practical advice in the book as well, and I thought you did it with tact, and you were very clear but not overly graphic in that chapter.
Thank you.
So I did like those chapters.
I'm big on like always having a card to hand out to someone. You know, for it doesn't have to have your address or phone number, but it could have your email contact information. Looking your best, even when you go out to the, you know, Whole Foods, if you are wearing your sweats and look terrible and you see the possible love of your life, you don't want to feel like, oh, I have to run and hide amongst the frozen foods. You want to be ready to meet the possible person. And if you are a woman and you only go to the, you know, the women's swim or the women's gym, that's going to really limit the potential for meeting other people. Carrying an interesting object with you, if it's an interesting book, have it facing out. So someone might say to you, oh, isn't that a wonderful book? I really enjoy that author. You never know when you might make a new friend. And rather than only focusing on finding the right person, we need to focus on being the right person.
I think that's excellent advice.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Are you traveling and teaching?
Yes, I travel all around. I'm going to Minnesota next week. I just got back from San Diego and L.A. So if you do visit my website, you can see where I'm teaching. I haven't posted my 2011 schedule, but I'll be in upstate New York. And I teach in Iceland every year now. There's an herb school there. So I feel very, very blessed to be able to bring the message of natural medicine, something that I learned about from my grandmother. My grandmother was a folk herbalist, and she was a huge inspiration to me. So please do visit www.Brigitte, B-R-I-G-I-T-T-E, Mars.com, and I am on Facebook, and I try to list my schedules there. I'm still learning about how to do all this social networking, but I have 14 books out, and I feel, again, really blessed to be able to share wisdom and to empower people so that they can have healthier, happier lives in a way that is in harmony with the earth, because when we support natural medicine, we're also helping to keep our planet greener.
Yay.
Yay. We're all on board with that one, aren't we?
Yep. Yeah, because when you read your book, it's totally not about using herbs as drugs or It's about an herbal lifestyle. It's about finding your allies. It's about, you know, finding your connection to the greater world around you. I really appreciate that perspective and take.
And even as Dr. Susan talked about, you know, the plastics and the phthalates and all those things that we need to be careful of, when we buy greener products, we're voting with our dollars about the kind of world we want to create. So when we say, you know, yeah, I have read, you know, apples are good for libido. Well, you know, put your money where your mouth is, and by supporting organic, we're voting for the future and the kind of world we want to create for our children and grandchildren. So if we all do it, it's going to make it more affordable for everybody. So, you know, do what you can. We can't necessarily all take on the same causes, but I think that being a global citizen is very sexy, and it's something we can be really proud of. And when we look our best and feel our best, that is sexy.
And the circle of people around the world that are taking that perspective of maybe Earth first, is growing bigger and stronger all the time.
We have no choice, and it's a great opportunity.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. We've been spending time with Brigitte Mars, author, herbalist, healer, teacher, discussing her book, The Sexual Herbal Prescriptions for Enhancing Love and Passion. Thank you so much for being with us, Brigitte.
Many blessings to you both and your listeners, and keep doing the great work. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
It's been great. I loved your book.
Thank you so much.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. We're so happy you were with us today. Tune in weekly. Have a great day.